And now, pianist Ivan Illich speaks to Radio 4's Stacey Rada.
钢琴家伊里奇弹奏过肖邦的降 E 大调练习曲作品十的第六首。在未继续欣赏音乐之前，我们先听下第一部分的访问。我同事卢迪斯就会同伊里奇倾下偈。
My name is Ivan Illich. I'm a Serbian-American pianist living in France, where I make my home since 2001. And I've picked a program today that traces the different strands of piano music from Bach to Chopin, a very specific tradition that I'm interested in, and that takes it almost all the way to the present day, to a composition from 2013.And what's interesting to me recently is the fact that we have ways of interpreting history where we try to contrast one epoch from another. So we'll say the Romantic epoch was different from modernism for such and such reasons. And I find that sometimes it's interesting to take the opposite approach and find what people have in common. And one of the biggest things they have in common is the instruments they write for. So the piano, for example, has evolved, obviously, from the time of Bach.And there were quite a few big changes in the time of Chopin. But since then, Chopin exploited some of the properties of the instrument with such panache that people have been taking his ideas for what is pianistic and continuing that. So Scriabin is the most obvious example of somebody who has a very strong tie to what Chopin did, but he also has his own individual voice. And I find that a very...interesting ambivalent mixture. That is to say that when you hear his music, you think of Chopin, but then you know it's not Chopin, it's something else. It's Scriabin. And I find that mixture very interesting. Much more interesting than someone who tries to reject the past completely. There's a young American composer named Scott Wolschlager, who I think his music has never been played in Asia before. And it's really exciting for me to premiere a work of his written in 2013.Called Music Without Metaphor, because, again, he is in relation to an American composer called Morton Feldman, who was a protege of John Cage, a very important 20th century composer, and one of these rare composers whose reputation has been rising steadily since he died. So he was relatively well known during his lifetime. He died in 1986. But ever since he's died, his reputation has been skyrocketing. It's just very interesting to see that happen.Very unexpected, I think. And Scott Wolschlager's piece sounds just like some of Feldman's late pieces, but there's something else there. There's something very unique and communicative and powerful. So I like composers that have a recognizable voice, but that is still tied to the past. So I think that's something that Bach, Chopin, Scriabin, and Wolschlager all have in common.
Now, how did you find this piece by Wolschlager?
That's a...Excellent question. I did internet research, actually. I was looking for a piece for a recording which I knew would mix Morton Feldman and earlier music, but I wanted something that sounded like Feldman from today that couldn't have been written 25 years ago, but that I kind of wanted to know what happened to Feldman, you know, what, because if you have a really strong compositional voice, the proof of that is that they influence the next generation. So I was looking for that influence, and I was listening and researching to pieces, over 200 works for piano. And for me, this is the one that I was looking for. As soon as I heard it, I knew that this was the one. So you can both hear the kind of the heritage of Feldman, but also something else. And also with Morton Feldman's music, the pieces were quite long at the end. He has this very strange language, which is kind of repetitive, but it's never the same. And the pieces can last over an hour. And I was always wondering, was it possible to write a piece like that, but that only lasted 5 or 6 minutes? And this music, Music Without Metaphor, is exactly that.
Have you had any direct contact with the composer?
Yes, over email, that's it. I think we spoke on the phone once. And I find that very interesting to not have met him. In other words, to not know him as a person, because it's almost as if I'm researching a composer who is from another age, because I don't have access to him as a human being. So, you know, I have information about him online and I have recordings of his music, but, you know, it's not as if I know him. So I think that's kind of interesting that I haven't met him yet. I'm not sure I want to.
And what, oh, so it's curious because you would think that a composer would want to know how their music's being played, so take a particular interest in you.
Yes.
And contact you afterwards with any kind of criticism or comments.
That's
but
true.
You don't expect to hear from him?
Well, with my phone, I've made little recordings of myself practicing the piece, and very early on when I contacted him, I said, you know, he made a recording of himself playing it, and I thought, well, I heard the piece differently, and I sent it to him. And we emailed back and forth about that. And that was an interesting process because it was really much too early in the process of learning the piece to send anything. But I just kind of wanted to start the communication. And I've also sent him live recordings of the piece since. I've played the piece in several different countries. In South America, I played it in Europe. I'm trying to think where else I played it. Just started playing it not that long ago. But yeah, I think the piece is evolving, and I think that he's very close to the performers he works with in New York City, and so he's the kind of person that, you know, his fiance is a violist, and he knows lots of musicians, so I think he usually would have that direct contact. But I think it's also exciting for him to have someone just discover his music randomly and record it with such care, because I really was very, very careful with it. You know, I memorized it, I put the same care in it that I would if I was playing Scriabin, and I think that's something that doesn't happen very often today.
Stacey Rotta there in conversation with the guest in this week's Music of Friends program, pianist Ivan Illich. He continues now his recital program with a set of four compositions, two of them by Johann Sebastian Bach. First, we'll have the Fugue from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 2 in A-flat major. Then we'll have the Music Without Metaphor of Scott Wolfschlager. That will be followed by the C major prelude from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1 of Johann Sebastian Bach. And the fourth piece in the set, the Prelude in B Major, Opus 16, Number 1 of Alexander Scriabin.
唔该晒罗迪斯，跟住落嚟伊利奇咧会一气呵成弹奏四首嘅作品啊。首先咧就系 J.S. 巴克嘅第二册平均律曲集当中嘅降A大调副歌曲，跟住咧就系和舒利格嘅没有隐喻的音乐。咁第三首咧又翻去 J.S. 巴克嘅第一册平均律曲集。 我们欣赏的是 C 大调前奏曲，最后就是史嘉燕亚宾的 B 大调前奏曲作品16的第一首。
Thank you.
Music there, composed by Russian master Alexander Scriabin, the prelude in B major, Opus 16, number 1, concluding that set of four compositions, all played by pianist Ivan Illich. Before that, we had the prelude from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1 in C major of Johann Sebastian Bach. We had the Music Without Metaphor of Scott Wolfschlager, and the A-flat major fugue from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 2 of Johann Sebastian Bach. Stacey Rotta takes up again her conversation with Ivan Illich.
刚才欣赏过钢琴家伊里奇弹奏四首作品，刚刚那首就是史加尔雅宾的 B 大调前奏曲作品16的第一首，之前就是 J.S. Bach 的第一册平均律曲集当中的 C 大调前奏曲，和舒里格的没有隐喻的音乐，第一首就是 J.S. Bach 的第二册平均律曲集当中的降 A 大调副格曲。跟住来我同事卢迪斯会继续同伊利奇倾下偈噶。
Take us through what you've been doing recently, so far as concerts, recordings, projects.
Sure. For the last 2 years or so, I've been doing really deep research into the life of this American composer, Morton Feldman. So his dates are 1926 to 1987, and it's interesting because I previously was not that interested in the composer's lives, that kind of thing, you know, anecdotal information. I think that musicians tend to consider those things that are brought to the fore for the amateur or for the public. You know, they want to know about the people who made the music. And, you know, musicians like to think that they're kind of like scientists, like all they need is the technical music itself. And I've completely changed my mind about that in the last 2 years. And I think it's because I met someone, a visual artist, who invited me to become part of a project for the Venice Biennial. And it was a big project. And for some reason, he was really interested in left-hand music. So he was researching that in depth and traveling across Europe, really, to meet the experts. And because I recorded a CD of Godofsky's left-hand studies, he came to see me in Paris. And we had a long conversation, and I couldn't believe how much he knew about left-hand repertoire and about the historical context. And he knew a lot more than me, actually, and he was, you know, coming to see me as an expert, so it kind of made me quite uncomfortable. But actually, what was more important than the fact that he knew so much is he was so excited about it, and it was because he'd done the reading that he was excited. So I met him, and then I kind of forgot about that whole thing. And then I realized that I was getting really interested in Morton Feldman's music, and then I started reading and reading and reading, and then I traveled to Switzerland to this archive that looks like a bank, you know, it looks like a big vault, and you go in and you have access to his letters written by hand on microfilm. And I started getting really involved in all of that, and I happened upon a quote from him which talks about this very thing, where he says that the point of knowledge, of acquiring knowledge, is not the knowledge itself, but that it gives you authority in your decisions, and also it tells you what not to do. So when I read that, I kind of had a shiver down my spine, because I realized that he had given me the key to why I was so interested in learning more about him, which is that now when I choose my decisions when making an interpretation, like tempo or how loud I'm playing the piece or whatever, I'm in my mind are all these things that I've read about what he said, about how it's important to be rhythmically flexible, about how it's important to not play too loudly, because he used to scream at people who would play his music too loudly. And all of that's going through my head, and therefore it's impossible for me to do certain things. I can't play loud. I can't play too metronomically. And that really enriches the experience. You know, even if I've never met Feldman, he passed away when I was 9 years old, so probably wouldn't have understood much if I had met him. But that's really enriched the experience for me. I feel much more in touch with the music, and I feel like the choices I'm making are the right ones. Now, I'm not going to say that other people can't do other things, but I can't do things differently than I'm doing them.